CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Malcolm, you tell me there is unhappiness in the American team negotiating with Iran and others in Vienna about the JCPOA. What unhappiness, Malcolm?
Well, it's broad unhappiness with the resignation of a number of the members of the team. You know, Iran has refused to sit directly with the U.S. in the nuclear talks, and now they're talking about some, perhaps engaging in some direct talks. But there's been discord within the group because they feel that the position the U.S. has taken was too weak. Richard Nephew, the deputy special envoy for Iran, left the team. He was the one who was an architect of the economic sanctions in the past, and he wanted a tougher posture and hasn't attended the talks in Vienna for, I guess, over a month. And two other members of Robert Malley's team, who he heads the talks, have stepped back from them, again, because they wanted a firmer negotiating position on the part of the United States and to enforce existing sanctions. Because the talks, which they keep saying there's a deadline, we've heard it from top officials at the U.S., but in fact, these are open-ended, and we haven't seen any real deadline or the pressure being put on the Iranians who move ahead all of this time with their various programs. The United States and Israel met at very high level, virtually. The national security advisors talked about the situation in Vienna and trying to coordinate, but everybody acknowledges there's very modest progress, except now that we see some reports that they're moving towards some lesser, less for less deal or something in the interim, but members of the administration have denied it. And also the possibility of some direct talks between the U.S. And Iranian officials, which, as you know, till now have not taken place. It's really the demand on the part of a lot of these people was about the IEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, should censure Iran for preventing the inspectors from coming and continuing to bar them from some of the most sensitive places that they have.
The foreign minister of Qatar is visiting D.C. within these next hours. To what end, Malcolm?
So that's a good question, because it looks like there's going to be also a visit of the emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, to hold direct talks with President Biden at the end of the month and trying to salvage the agreement. The talk is that the foreign minister is there to advance the emir's visit, and Qatar has tried to play a role, Iran perhaps wanting them to play a role, of fostering the direct talks between the two countries. There's also, Qatar has traditionally played a role with the release of prisoners, and Tehran is demanding that four U.S. citizens, Washington says, that Washington is holding in prison for crimes that they are saying are being held as hostages. So it will be very interesting to see what can come out of the talks. You know, we've had an up and down relationship with Qatar, which continues to flirt with some of the terrorist groups, Hamas and others. And this is the first visit in a long time.
The Iranians are testing an advanced rocket. Now, Malcolm, you've often emphasized that the nuclear bomb does no good for the Iran threat unless there is a ballistic missile. Is that what they're looking for?
They have been working. Yes, you know, there are three parts. It's the delivery system, i.e. the ballistic missiles, it's weaponization, affixing the weapon to the rocket, and developing the enriched the bomb itself and enriching. So we know that they are enriching at 60, even to 90%. We know that they have stockpiles of things. They have the IR-6s running fast, so they can produce almost limitless amounts. And they launched a solid fuel satellite carrier into space. Now, many of their launches haven't made it into space and haven't been successful, but that's not the goal. The goal is really to develop the ballistic missile capacity. The rocket didn't leave the Earth's orbit, but this, the test itself was successful of the solid fuel engine. So they tested, it could increase their ability to have missiles that can go to 3,000 miles, which threatens all the European countries who should be up in arms and outrage about these developments. So there's now criticism of Rouhani for having curtailed the missile tests, and now saying we got to make up for it and move ahead. So these missile tests are very serious. It scares all of the regional things. In addition to them developing short-range missiles, drones that can hit many of the countries in the region, this gives them a much farther reach and a much greater threat.
We're going to presume they can reach London with their missiles. Oddly, Malcolm, you report to me that the Iranian regime is blaming Britain for the Vienna shortfall. How so?
Yeah, it's interesting that they are singling out Britain for criticism for the failure of the talks and for, they're saying, taking a hard line. I'm not sure many there would have seen it that way. But the fact is that the British have been staying position. Germany's position at the talks has been very weak. France is vacillates, and sometimes they try to take the harder position, sometimes a weaker position. And Iran really right now feels its oats. You know, not only is the Qatari foreign minister visiting there, the foreign minister is going to India, of Iran to India, and developing cultural ties and things, and the African leaders coming there. So they look at all of this and they're saying, you know, that they're not the ones that are suffering as a result of it.
Lebanon, we've talked about it over these last weeks, and it is a failed state in the hands of the terrorist Hezbollah. Saeed Hariri, the well-known son of the assassinated former prime minister, on again, off again in Lebanon. Where is he now?
Off again. He said that he's left. He gave up playing any political role. As you rightly pointed out, he had gone to Saudi Arabia a few years ago, where he then made some videos, which he later recanted, and positions that he took. But, you know, the country's in a financial meltdown. They have announced that they were ready to resume the maritime talks with Israel because they are very desperate, and this would be a great source of income and revenue. The internal divisions are greater than, it's a total disarray, even within the Sunni camp. And now Hariri leaving the country, he was the most popular figure. He was unable to form a government. And since last July, I think he went to Abu Dhabi. His father, you remember, was assassinated, and he tried to take over and to rebuild the coalition. But his government collapsed in 2011 when he left. In 2016, he took it again. It collapsed in 2018. The bottom line is it's reflective of the uncertainty in Iran. But now I think this adds another question mark, because he had 20 seats in his future movement that they want on the parliament. There will be parliamentary elections. The question is what kind of realignment takes place and how this plays into the hands of Hezbollah, which obviously has opposed Hariri and his party very strongly.
Do I say incorrectly, Malcolm, that Lebanon is a failed state? I don't mean to dismiss it, but all the discord that you and others have reported suggests to me that the sovereignty no longer much exists.
I think it's beyond a failed state. I think we are seeing a country that tragically, because I've been there and it's a beautiful country. It was a beautiful country. It's really important that it be taken back from Hezbollah. And as long as they return to the cabinet now, Hezbollah, which had boycotted it for some time. And they are controlling more and more of the country. And obviously they're proxies for Iran, which gives Iran a foothold on the border of Israel, on the Mediterranean, and of course in regard to Syria. So Lebanon is still significant, even if it's not a major player in some regards, and a tragedy unfolding.
Malcolm Holline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, on Holocaust Remembrance Day 2022. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.